The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek, and they made it with a bat, fucking protesting them citizens. Told you go fight in the war, Vietnam, you died, good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around and pump crack right up when you did it, and they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called a national guard up because we ride with our guard up, and that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. The one that you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News with Scotty Reed. Today's date is December the 15th, 2015. Already, just what, 2 weeks away from a new year. Well, good to be joining you alive from behind these enemy lines that I call USA Inc. We just have a short news and information broadcast for you, but as always, the phone lines are always open. Of course, you can join in and ask any questions or make any comments that you would like by giving us a call at 704-951-5030. That's the studio line. Again, that's 704-951-5030. The other way to get in is through our conference line, of course. Our longtime listeners know that number. And that number is 641-715-3660, 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032. Hit pound. Unless you're using a web-based flash phone embedded on blacktalkradionetwork.com, then you just choose those numbers. Again, those numbers for the conference line. It's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. For those dialed in, just hit star 6 and 1 at any time. Some network news, usually following this broadcast at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Tando Radio Show. I just got confirmation from Dave. I thought I remembered correctly, but I don't think he will be on air all week. But it is Tuesday, so tonight at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, make sure you listen to the crew of Mad Men and Women on Why You Mad Son Radio, which simulcasts right here on blacktalkradionetwork.com every Tuesday night at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. So today I do have some news, some interesting news, just some news of the day. But again, if you have any news that you would like to report, there are various ways that you can get your questions, comments, and your reports in. But don't hesitate and wait to do that. We want to try to keep the program fast moving and just hit the people off with the information unless someone has something to add. But a question that came to my mind today as, of course, I was scanning social media and looking for news, gathering intelligence, as we call it, since it is a battlefield out there called America. But what is a terrorist and who is a terrorist is a question that came to my mind when I read a piece by Paul Joseph Watson, who is on Twitter under the handle of Prison Planet. And Prison Planet has been online reporting as an alternative media source since, I would say, in the late 1990s. Alex Jones started that website, that property, along with InfoWars. I used to be a subscriber to that site back in 1999, 2000. And yes, he did correctly predict a attack on the World Trade Center a year before it happened. He is most known for that, but I know him more for his racism and his white supremacy, which he is in denial about. But if you look at, you know, the stuff he was putting out back then, he was putting out a lot of good information. He was mostly focused on corporations and what he called the globalists and how they work with governments, you know, sent somebody out to the Bilderberg conference, did a lot of, I would say, groundbreaking journalism, citizen style journalism, some of those secret societies, I forget the name of it. He really made a mark in terms of citizen journalism in history, I would say, as a person who has been following what they now call social media for a very long time, or alternative news sources. But if you go to their website, 2015, I'm talking about prisonplanet.com, you will see a lot of anti-blackness. You will see a lot of more pulling to the right-wing crowd, you know, the townhall.com crowd, that crowd, the rabid right-wing people who are out there filling up stadiums, and, well, I shouldn't say stadiums, but conference halls with to see Donald Trump, you know, spew some racism and whatnot. And Donald Trump, he doesn't even use a dog whistle, you know, so a lot of those people, racist whites, have tuned in, and that's what Prison Planet is about now. Especially coming from the writer Paul Joseph Watson, and, you know, I think of him as an infiltrator, because he's not even American. I don't know if he has dual citizenship or yet, but he's a citizen of the UK, you know, and so just, you know, who is he to speak on the historical oppression in this country? And it's like, basically, my problem with them is they ignore it. They produce articles attacking Black Lives Matter movement. They try to confuse people between the new Black Panther Party and the Black Panther Party that started in 1966 by Huey Newton and Bobby Seale in Oakland, California. And, you know, Alex Jones, I've seen emails come from InfoWars where they will talk about, you know, something Khalid Muhammad said, or I forget the other guy's name, but something outrageous had been captured on video. I think the one thing was they showed some of those guys going out they had sticks in their hands and they were going to a polling place, and they said on camera that they heard that Black people were being prevented from voting, and, you know, they had sticks in their hands, and to be honest with you, they did not look like professional soldiers. They did not, you know, they pretty much did look like what we would call thugs, what most people would call. They had that thugged out red, black, and green look with sticks in their hands, not real weapons, you know, holstered, licensed to carry, but they had sticks in their hands. And so, of course, the racist white supremacist media is going to exploit images like that. And so, you know, Alex Jones and them were blowing that up, and they pretty much been on the anti-black tip, but he would send out graphics that show, like, you know, just rank and file members of the Black Panther parties from the 1960s and 70s, because they had a lot of participation. That's how they were able to build all of those survival programs nationwide, you know, feeding people, health clinics, all that type of stuff, you know. And so for Alex Jones and his crew, InfoWars, as well as Prison Planet, whatever the name of his media corporation is, for them to send out images of these of the original Panthers and then attach some silliness that some of the people in the new Black Panther Party movement have been engaged in, then made people think it's all one of the same. And that's very troubling to me as a person who devotes at least 1 hour of my time, more than 1 hour, to political prisoner issues. But I do a regular broadcast on this network every Sunday night about political prisoners, many of them former Panthers, set up, framed by the FBI, COINTELPRO. You know, that's the type of information that we're dealing with. And so then when these people come up for parole and whatnot, then the Alex Jones and where they've been brainwashing the masses to believe, oh, you know, these new Black Panther Party people that's engaged in foolishness, like jumping on an elder in the community at this meeting and whatnot. And I don't even want to get into all of that, but that, you know, that sort of foolishness and then attaching it to the legacy of the original Panthers as started by Huey Newton and Bobby Seale, which was a political organization that also grew into an organization that was helping the black community be self-sustainable. And I have many problems, if you can't tell, with what Alex Jones and them. And then if you, again, I've said this, if you want to idolize people like Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, and those type of people who are racist white supremacists and were enslavers and whatnot, then, you know, and you don't see nothing wrong with them, you know, and you can't separate any ideals they may have plagiarized from other civilizations, whether they were indigenous to here or whether it was based on Magna Carta in Europe, you know, but you put together this so-called document, supposed to be the master document, the freedom and whatnot, but you know you was intending for it to be whites only, you know, just backstabbing really all the African descendant free black revolutionary soldiers that helped take this country from the British, take this land from the British, you know, just totally stabs them in the back. So, you know, again, I'm an amateur historian. I read a lot, so I have a lot of facts on these. And so if you're worshiping somebody like that, then, you know, that's, you're not a person I can get down with. But I am going to watch you. I'm going to keep my eye on you, and I'm going to alert others to your deception through media and how it's harming people. So I want to take, he's now got, is focused on the Muslims, American Muslims, and a lot of them are black if we're talking about quote-unquote American Muslims. We're talking about Nation of Islam, people like that. And then you have people who practice Islam and don't belong to an organized, you know, they don't go to a mosque or whatnot, but they practice just like a lot of people who don't participate in organized Christianity. They don't go to a church on a regular basis. So he set his sights now on demonizing Muslims and saying, trying to say that this congressman was wrong to cite white supremacy, terrorism as a problem in this country. And so we'll look at Mr. Watson's intent with his propaganda piece on PrisonPlanet.com, which, by the way, I did invite Mr. Watson. He's always had an open invitation to either the radio program, now giving him the option of video. And I did tweet today's broadcast to the Prison Planet account. And so if he's out there, if he by chance is watching, look, come on, call in, video in, Skype in, whatever you got to do, man. And let's have a debate on this, and let's talk about the type of media you're producing that is what I'm going to call it, what it is white supremacist propaganda. All right. And so, you know, as the president of the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project, it wasn't part, our mission is several fold, and one of our things is pointing out the practice of racism in media, sort of like what Media Matters does, but they target the right wing. When we look at it all, we don't give MSNBC a pat, and we're looking for specific patterns of racism, patterns and practices. So I have to call Prison Planet out. I'm going to keep calling Prison Planet out. I'm going to keep personally inviting Mr. Watson to come on and have an intellectual debate. There'll be no shouting, no screaming, over talking anyone, anything like that. But let's debate the facts that the facts of these issues that you're writing about that you don't have a clue about, or you're engaged in purposeful disinformation to the masses. And playing a race card and injecting racism into something like you've done with the police issue. Former President Woodrow Wilson is another story I want to bring you back to, in case you have not heard. The some of the students of, I think it's Yale University, it might be Princeton or Yale, excuse me if I'm confused the two. All right, but Woodrow Wilson was at one time, I think it was Yale, former president of Yale. Then he became, I think, a congressman or a senator, and then he was president. They said he did all this in under 2 years. But he has been the target of student protesters, mainly black, but I'm sure they've been joined by some non-black people, maybe, you know, a speckle in the crowd here or there. But they have been protesting Woodrow Wilson, and, you know, buildings being named after him. and whatnot, like we see down there in South Carolina at Clemson University with Tillman Hall, named after a person who admitted to being a white supremacist terrorist and participated in the lynching of black people. And we're talking about Benjamin Tillman, who was a U.S. senator and considered a prominent politician, but he was also an enslaver as well. And so you have these universities naming buildings after these people because these people made, you know, all this money off of slavery. And then they set aside some of that money to start this university, you know, that discriminated against black people, obviously. And so now, today, you so-called integrated and you're making billions of dollars off of the sports. Look at the Clemson football team now, how it's ranked. They saying that they got a good chance to win the national championship. That means a lot of money for that school. They already making a lot of money, you know, and whatnot. But then you honoring racist, white supremacist terrorists like a Benjamin Tillman. And shout out to See the Stripes, people down there that have been protesting. But the same thing has been occurring on either the Princeton, it could be Princeton and Yale University. But in this specific instance, it's Woodrow Wilson, and who became president, and I'm not sure if the USA had incorporated yet. I had to check the dates on when Woodrow Wilson, I think Woodrow Wilson was president after 1871, I'm not sure, but if he was, then we could give him the title of CEO of USA Inc. But former president Woodrow Wilson, you may have heard, had once screened a white supremacist Klan movie in the White House, you know. And think about this, you know, today President Obama and his wife, they screening some of the movies that come out of Hollywood. I think that, what was that last, that black movie about the black airmen, Tucker C.G. Airmen, I think it was called Red Tails or something like that. They had a screening at the White House. So Woodrow Wilson was screening films too. All right, so yeah, he would have been CEO of USA Inc. because of The Birth of a Nation came out, I believe, in the early 1900s, I'm sure. So Woodrow Wilson would have been president during that time. So yes, he was a CEO, former CEO of USA Inc. And so they want these buildings names or these names of these people, these vile, evil, racist people, remove. We don't care about their contributions. You know what I'm saying? That's an insult to all their victims. And what, just think of him screening that film in the White House. All the, what kind of recruitment tool that was for the Ku Klux Klan, one of the oldest domestic terrorist organizations in this country, and still active, even if they have broken up and they've got underground groups and whatnot, and loose affiliations, and, you know, man, that stuff is still going on today. And that's taking it back to Mr. Joseph Watson, Paul Joseph Watson. I know he got a brother. I think his brother named Craig. But anyway, taking it back to him. Who is a terrorist? What is a terrorist? Because, you know, it seems like he and others like him want to minimize white terrorism. And so, you know, you honor white terrorism. If you honor white terrorism, then that tells me then it's not beneath you to commit acts of terrorism. Because, damn, you giving terrorists, you know, honor, a places of honor in society. So if you want this, you know, to get beyond just the propaganda talking point of saying, you know, one nation under God for all and all that kind of stuff, then you need to really practice that. Society needs to start reflecting that. Otherwise, you know, all of all that is a reflection of what's in your heart, what's still in your heart. These things show us what's in your heart. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, there will be none of that, you know, we all just one. I'm not feeling that. North Carolina, want to give some North Carolina news. I need to mention my own home state every chance I get to provide some local news for the local people in the state of North Carolina that tune in to the radio broadcast and now watching the video cast as we distribute them. North Carolina Congress, Patrick Henry, he is the, we would call him the corporate officer that they say was elected to represent the people who live in this district. you know, at the board meetings of USA Inc. And he released a press statement on some legislation that would allow victims of America's eugenics program to receive, I wouldn't even call it reparations, a payment, a payout for what was done to them, being forcefully sterilized and what like that. And many of them, there's an issue with some of them. I don't know the exact number, exact percentages, but they are on public assistance. And so, you know, if you're living in public, say, housing as an elderly person, and you may only be paying, I don't know what they pay, because so I don't want to cite any wrong figures. But all of a sudden, you get $50,000 in your bank account. Oh, now you got to move out, you know, you got to get out and all that. And because you got a payment for this very heinous criminal act that was committed against you. And so not only are we not going to put the people in prison or in on trial for participating in a eugenics program, you know, and this was even after the Nuremberg trials, referring to the Nazis, and people know a lot about that sterilization or eugenics programs that went on under the Nazis, under Hitler's regime. But what a lot of people don't know is they came here to study. The Nazis did, came here to study how black people and indigenous folks, and Native Indians and whatnot, were being mistreated by the U.S. government in studying their eugenics programs. And so then, you know, here in the state of North Carolina, there are reports that, and they acknowledge, the state has acknowledged, they were still doing these forced sterilizations when I was in high school in the 80s. So that's how long, how many, what, 50 years, 60 years after World War II, after the so-called defeat of the Nazis? But you got eugenics programs still going on nationwide, and we have reported on some of our other programming about women in prisons being forcefully sterilized against their will and without or without their knowledge. So he issued a press statement. That's Patrick McHenry. He is a member of the GOP. He issued a press release saying he supported legislation. They got some movement. I'm not sure if it was passed. We'll check the record and see what he's talking about. But obviously, it's supposed to let them get that $50,000, that measly $50,000, when you didn't sterilize this person as a teenager against their will and whatnot. And, you know, man. And so we're going to also let you, you know, stay in public housing and whatnot. And I bet you it'll be some people mad about that. It'll be some right wingers, some Tea Partiers, or some town hallers who will be mad about that. And speaking of that, I don't know if y'all saw the video on our Facebook page, Black Talk Radio Network. There was a town hall meeting. It looks like a rural area, like where I would live, where I live, 80% or more white, and I don't know what they were arguing about, but it was a short clip, but they was in an all-out brawl. I mean, they was fighting. I don't know if it was Trump supporters versus Marco Rubio's people or Jeb Bush people. I don't know what they was fighting about, but it looked like an all-out brawl. You know, it was an all-out brawl when you saw the video. So anyway, getting back to Patrick McHenry, we'll take a look at that press statement. Again, that's just to show you, you know, this place that you call home or your nation and whatnot, it ain't all that it's cracked up to be in terms of respecting people's human rights and treating people with dignity and respect and not violating them in numerous ways like what is going on here. It, you know, it's just a shame that the U.S. government for at least 20 years have signed on to treaties that govern human rights and afford people more rights than what the so-called Constitution, this perfect document, provides them, throw in the Bill of Rights and whatnot. But they have signed on to these treaties, but they failed to ratify them. But they had this big old party just a couple of days ago about the ratification of the 13th Amendment, which does not abolish slavery. You know, still perpetrating that fraud, like the Civil War ended slavery when it did not. It did not. It just narrowed the avenues or the legal ways that you can practice slavery, and it has to involve the courts, because a criminal conviction is the only legal way you can put somebody into slavery. These are facts, people. All you need to do is look them up. You, for God's sakes, we're on the digital, riding the digital waves. And so you have to be connected to the internet. Look this information up. Look up the 13th Amendment if you doubt anything I'm saying. So, you know, that's some of the topics I'm going to try to get through quickly for today. But would love to hear from you, the listeners. Have heard from some of the listeners who have been checking out the videos of Black Talk Radio News, been published to Black Talk Media's YouTube channel, and saying they, you know, like the added element of the video and whatnot. So, and they like it, and it's nice. So thank you. We'll work on making it better. And yes, we are listener supported. We also, you can contribute to our YouTube channel to work specifically on our video operations and bettering that through the fund button that's on our channel. We just got that approving, you know, and out the way. So thank you. Thank you for appreciating the work. Want to keep it going. Hope to continue it as long as I have breath in my body. And then I hope it's somebody to take over once I'm done. So I'm going to take a station identification break. I know I'm taking one kind of early, but I want to keep it moving. Again, you could give us a call at 704-951-5030. That's the studio line. The conference line is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. For those dialed in, greetings to you. Just hit star 6 and 1 at any time you would like to get in on this live broadcast. All right, we are going to take a break. We'll be right back on the other side.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
All right, and welcome back. Let's go ahead and take a look at what this garbage that Mr. Watson has published on PrisonPlanet.com. And I'm like, man, I do credit PrisonPlanet.com back in the early, the late 90s for turning me on to the fact that, you know what, this whole planet is like a prison. And, you know, and then later, you know, I got hip to the fact that, you know, that's what prison is, it's slavery. But I never, during all those years, and I certainly don't now, hearing Alex Jones or anybody associated with him, and certainly not Paul Joseph Watson, bringing up all of the crimes that are occurring on the prison plantations today. You know, in the immigration detention facilities, these are all privatized and whatnot. A lot of human rights abuses occurring in them, and it's slavery. And so, you know, but these people are some of the ones, and I'm talking about, again, InfoWars. I'm talking about, because this is published on InfoWars.com. But again, Paul Joseph Watson, I think he has taken control of PrisonPlanet.com, and I certainly know he controls the Twitter account. Let me jump right into this. This is the headline they chose. Muslim congressman claims white supremacist bigger threat than Islamic terrorists. What does the fact that he's a Muslim have to do with it? Why not just congressman? You know, when they talk about, let's say, Rand Paul or Donald Trump, do they say Presbyterian presidential candidate or Mormon presidential candidate? That's how subtle racism is in media. You know, you look at patterns. Do you really see those type of headlines being associated with any other people? You know, even Keith Ellison, the congressman out of Minneapolis, who his son was victimized by Minneapolis police, who was pointing a gun at him. That's assault under Minneapolis law. He's just standing there with his hands up, nothing like that. So, you know, but again, the subtleties of racism in media. A Muslim congressman, you know, why can't he be just a U.S. congressman or a U.S. representative? Claims white supremacy is bigger threat than Islamic terrorists. The facts show otherwise. And that's important, too, when they talk about the facts show otherwise. And then when you read the article and you scan it for some facts and you double check the facts and these people's sources, and then you find out they're not facts at all. They're lies. And their intent is to hype up. Hatred towards Muslims. These are the people that egg on those people who do these armed demonstrations outside of mosques. We see those a lot in Texas and whatnot. Just in California, there was a report of a person firebombing. Okay, we did a show, the last show on Political Prisoner Radio, where these people, known as the NATO 3 political prisoners, two of them out already, another one should be getting out soon, but they were convicted on terrorism charges because an FBI informant got them to agree to some kind of little plot involving Molotov cocktails. So here we got a dude, a white man, he would be classified as white. I don't know, you know, what his other ancestral ties is and all that, but he's white. For the sake of brevity and what we're talking about, he firebombs a mosque, and how does he not end up being referred to as a terrorist by the media, by people like Paul Joseph Watson, or by the U.S. government? That was an act of terrorism, you know, especially what we see coming out of mainstream media, corporate-produced media. It's a lot of fear-mongering and hyping the facts and whatnot, you know, so... This is what Mr. Watson is talking about. Let me cue up this audio. I made a audio clip, and now we're going to. This is George Stephanopoulos. I love that interview, classic with Dennis Rodman that he did when he was trying to say to Dennis Rodman because of his trip to North Korea, talking about North Korea has labor camps, and Dennis Rodman said the U.S. got labor camps. George Stephanopoulos act like he was stumped. What are you talking about? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Jake from State Farm really works at the prison farm, answering phone calls for State Farm. You know what I'm saying? So they try to hide that. You had to be careful. That's why I say mainstream media lies to you. All right. So anyway, George Stephanopoulos is hosting these two people. This issue of white terrorism comes up. We'll go ahead and let you listen to that. Let me pull it up on my board.
Real fear out there right now. What do you say to Americans? And a majority in polls show that a majority of Americans believe that Islam is inconsistent with American values, that they have an unfavorable view of Islam. What do those people need to know in your view?
They need to know that there are numerous terrorist attempts that are thwarted weekly almost, and they're thwarted because Muslims are working behind the scenes helping to keep Americans safe. Look at our job numbers. There are Muslim businessmen and women who are starting business, and guess what, George? They're putting Americans back to work. Americans should know that not only is Islam a religion of peace, but Muslims are here and a valuable part of our society.
Question, Mr. Awad, though, is what do you do about the problem of radicalization in your community? George Washington University put out a report called ISIS in America, and it says that ISIS-related mobilization in the United States has been unprecedented. As of the fall of 2015, U.S. authorities speak of some 250 Americans who have targeted or attempted to travel to Syria, Iraq to join the Islamic State, and 900 active investigations against ISIS sympathizers in all 50 states. And the number of young men who've been arrested on ISIS-related charges has doubled in the last year.
As Congressman Carson said, there are 8 million Muslims in the United States. American Muslims are not the problem. 40% of the terrorist plots were foiled by the contribution and involvement of the American Muslim families and members. And also, let's look at the bigger picture. ISIS wants us to be afraid. ISIS wants to divide us. ISIS wants us to be afraid of one another. And unfortunately, the bigger picture is the fact that we have 355 mass shootings in 2015 alone. And we see disproportionate media and political attention given to the acts of few thugs related to ISIS in the United States, but not the 350 mass shootings, which means more than one mass shooting per day happened in the United States, mainly happened at the hands of people who are not of the Islamic faith. But unfortunately, we are giving a lot of credit to ISIS and to their recruited individuals, who are very few in the United States.
Yes. I totally agree with Nihad. I mean, if I just saw a report where the white supremacist group Stormfront, this has been a call to action, the rhetoric that we're seeing, it concerns me. I think that most of our largest domestic threat comes from racial supremacist groups. I worked in counterterrorism. I know this to be a fact. What we have to understand is that we're living in a time where there's a restoration movement taking place. People want to take us back to some mythological good old days.
All right, yeah, I stopped it there. That's the only clip that they had, and they had some little title said "Right News, Right Wing," something like that. But again, InfoWars is turning in. It is a white supremacist website, right, of the right wing variety. I don't know if you could even divide them up, cause you know you have racist white people on the left and right, but they say they identify with the right. So anyway, some of the things that, you know, were brought up there, I thought it was a good clip. But what is Paul Joseph Watson's problem, about that? And I didn't see anything incorrect about what they said. Here's an excerpt from what he's saying. Carson's assertion that white supremacists pose a bigger domestic threat than Muslims is completely erroneous. While Dylan Roof's massacre of black churchgoers in Charleston is the only recent white supremacist terror attack in the United States, Muslim jihadists have struck time and time again. Now, see, that's a lie right there. See what I'm saying? Again, what is terrorism and who is terrorist? Well, obviously, Paul Joseph Watson and people like him don't view church burnings as terrorism, even though that's a historic act of terrorism, especially the burning down of black churches. And we've had several of those. So, those are each were individual attacks of terrorism, white terrorism against the black community. And for him to say only Dylan Roof's act counts as terrorism, what is his criteria? What is he going by? Is he accepting that the government, the U.S. government, and only the federal government has only charged Dylan Roof with an act of terrorism, where the four or five men, who shot the Black Lives Matter unarmed protesters at a demonstration, a legally licensed public demonstration, and they only be charged with second degree assault? Do I need the government to tell me what's an act of terrorism? Clearly, that attack on Black Lives Matter was an act of terrorism. But, Paul Joseph Watson and InfoWars and Alex Jones and them don't think so. Okay, and this was just published yesterday, so we know this article was written by Paul Joseph Watson after the five people were shot, okay? And we have the video's out there, he could put that video up. So right there, he's erroneous, and he again wants to say that speaker, because they didn't put the name of the speaker, I don't know it right off. But here are some facts, though. Here's some facts that you heard. Numerous Muslims are reporting terrorist plots. That's true. That's true. Looking back on my military experience, you depend on intelligence, especially if you occupying somebody's land like we was in Saudi Arabia, and you depend on other Muslims, whether they in the military, with the police, or a security service. You depend on those Muslims to keep you safe. I didn't trust none of them when I was over there. We got followed one time when we were out checking on some communication sites, some satellite sites, just me and this other guy late at night, because we worked third shift, and we were followed by this police vehicle in Saudi Arabia. Man, I had my finger on the trigger. You know what I'm saying? Ready, locked and loaded and ready. I don't trust these people, but you do need to develop intelligence leads. And so, for people to deny that, then that's just crazy. That's why what Donald Trump is being, you know, the things that he's been saying about banning Muslims, and then you had heads of states from Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, some other Muslim countries, and how they were going to, how they were looking at that, and a lot of them didn't like that. And so they would like be like, well, y'all have to get y'all troops out of our country. We're not going to allow you to base your drones here where you can take out people, you know, extrajudicially kill people, assassinate people. We're no longer going to host your drones. We're not going to warn you about pending terror attacks like we warned you about the attacks in Paris, France, that you didn't see fit to warn the public about. We're not going to give you no more information like that, you know. So, again, but when we're talking about American Muslims, we're talking about a lot of black people as well. 25% of all American Muslims are black people, okay? What we would call black Americans. Some of them may have been descendants of enslaved Africans, but they are either in the Nation of Islam or they practice, you know, a different brand of Islam, whether that's Sunni Islam, whether that is Shia. As they have different sects. 8 million Muslims in America. 8 million Muslims. If 8 million Muslims out there decided to, you know, just a million of them decided that they, on one specific day, if they was really plotting and planning to be an enemy to the people of this country, all they had to do is a million of them go out there to the theaters and shoot them up like these white men are doing. That's all it would take. That's all it would take. Yeah, it would be tremendous casualties, but we do got a caller on the studio line, Brother Davis. I must have your number programmed in to the switchboard. Thank you for calling in. What's on your mind, bro?
Hey, brother. I really wanted to call about two things. One, I'm totally frustrated in the fact that the politicians don't see that African Americans are being victimized by the very policies that they have in place. And then they want to turn around and have an election and expect us to vote fair-mindedly. I think it's ridiculous that we have a prison industrial complex that is targeting us people of color, and they don't want to accept the fact that the contributions that we have made since the signing of the Constitution. And at this stage of the game, any organization that is bringing this to the attention of the politicians is one that I stand for. And the second reason why I called was because of the Tando show today. I have an excellent idea for it. I wanted to run that by you, but I'll call you on a different line, or if you want to call me back, that's great.
All right, we'll do. I didn't know if you were going, if Tando was going to be on air or not, and so good to hear you're going to sit in for Brother Day, because I understand he's still, you know, making that move. So certainly, I will give you a call back, and so we'll get you on air at 6 o'clock.
I appreciate you, brother. Peace.
All right, peace, Brother Davis. So Paul Joseph Watson, again, I just call this simply ignoring or trying to minimize white terrorism. If he thinks that the only terrorist act, and he's totally ignoring the FBI report that came out in 2006, that white supremacists and white supremacist types, you know, were infiltrating law enforcement. And perhaps that explains why black people are being disproportionately killed by police, white police officers in particular. That would explain it, but nobody wants, that's an act of terrorism. Terrorists have infiltrated law enforcement. And when that report came out in 2006, this again is a government report. It was suppressed by Congress. Didn't nobody want to talk about it. There were no hearings on it. There was no 21st century, you know, policing commission convened, or like President Obama did, and that was a total sham. And so, no, they just totally ignored the fact that white supremacists were infiltrating law enforcement and prisons as well as guards and working for these corporations. And then, I mean, when you make that connection, it's not hard then to understand why the convictions of the denial of people's human rights, the brutalization of people. I mean, we're having people beat to death, boiled to death, for God's sake, boiled to death, forced and trapped into, you know, one of them shower stalls, and then the hot water, nothing but the hot water turned on, and you're forced to lay up in there. Daryl Rainey, There's a book out about him in the Florida jails. So these are white supremacists, man, at work. Florida has so many inmate deaths that they had to start a website just for family members to check every day to see if one of their loved ones was murdered, either by prisoners or involving guards and whatnot. But that's how bad it is in Florida. And I'm sure they're not reporting everything. Everything is not making it. All the deaths are not making it into that database. To me, see, that's terrorism. The whole United States government, that entity known as USA Inc., is a terrorist organization. What is terrorism? Using force, intimidation, and violence to push a political agenda. What are these people doing? What is the corporate officers of USA Inc. doing to benefit corporations, whether they are defense contractors, weapons makers, arms dealers, and whatnot? So, you know, we have to define what terrorism is and then ask ourselves, well, who's engaging in terrorism? And people like Alex Jones and white supremacists like Paul Joseph Watson, they do what they do. They practice racism. I think I've heard people count a racist on the cow say, so how does that phrase go? You know, birds chirp and white people practice racism, something like that. Paul Joseph Watson, man, practices racism through media. I don't even respect Alex Jones anymore. And, you know, and then it really didn't click with me in those early years that when he was talking about Thomas Jefferson and all them. Well, I actually didn't know all the dirt that Thomas Jefferson had done and what a vile human being he was. And so when Alex Jones in the 90s was praising this white supremacist terrorist, you know, it didn't really offend me, you know. But then once I came into the knowledge of how this dude was sick and how, you know, he held his half sister, who was half African, bought her as a slave and then used her as a sex toy. So he had, you know, had a bunch of children with his wife. So he was having sex with two sisters, two half sisters, one black, one white. And you want to honor somebody like that? And man, please, this dude was a terrorist. And I don't want to go into, I've done past broadcasts, recent broadcasts about how he came up with the perfect capitalistic formula and discovered that for every enslaved baby born on his plantation, his wealth increased at least 5%. So he started breeding them like cattle. And this idea spread all across America from Thomas Jefferson to the rest, and as they say, is history. So, anyway, I spent too much time on that. Let me jump to our next story. Again, the phone lines, conference line, 641-715-3660. Participant code is 549-0032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 to signal me the host. Of course, you can chime in through the video chat. If you have any questions, if you doubt, you know, the accuracy of what I'm saying and the facts that I'm spitting, then by all means, enlighten the listeners, enlighten the viewers. Former President Woodrow Wilson. So again, you know, I went on and on at the beginning of the broadcast about how incorrect it is to honor people who were vile human beings. I don't care if they made a whole bunch of money. I don't care if they stole some enslaved African's invention and then patented it for their own. I don't care, you know, any institutions they so-called built with slave labor. I don't care about none of that. The very fact that they are racist, the very fact that they believe in white supremacy, and more importantly, they practice white supremacy because they had the power to do it. That's end of discussion. And they own human beings. That should be end of discussion. These people should be banished from the halls of honor any place, whether it's Congress, whether it's outside, a bus to them outside, a statue to them outside, on a courthouse where a court is supposed to be standing for, you know, liberty, justice for all, going there and get a quote-unquote fair trial and all that, and you got a white supremacist greeting me at the door. You know what I'm saying? These people should be banished. And it just says, again, about how terroristic people are and don't even realize how terroristic they're being or in denial about it. Or more insidiously, you know, they don't care. They really don't care because they think, you know, that I don't know what they think. I have trouble thinking like a sociopath. I just have trouble doing thinking of that. I try to get inside the minds of the enemy, but I tell you. Each American president, this comes to you from CSMonitor.com, 5 surprising facts about Woodrow Wilson and racism. So, each American president comes with built-in contradictions, but few can beat Woodrow Wilson when it comes to appearing one way and acting another. Wilson looked like a button-up, moralistic, and rigid preacher's son, which he was, but he swooned over women. He described his sensuality as a riotous element in my blood. So he was a misogynist. We can throw races on top of and white supremacy on top of being a misogynist, and became helplessly besotted with a Washington, D.C. widow after his first wife died. And so I got to look up that word besotted, because people, they be, you know, strongly infatuated. Why didn't they just say that? You know, they try to clean it up, you know, just anyway. He was Southern born and Southern sympathetic. That tells you a lot. Of course, he was sympathetic to the Confederacy, but he made a name for himself in Yankee country and rocketed in his 50s from president of Princeton University. So it was Princeton, a small all-male college, to governor of New Jersey, the U.S. president, in barely 2 years. So that's a great accomplishment. We have to recognize him for that. You know, wow. No, we don't. No, we don't. Again, this is a man that Princeton students are working to remove his name from facilities and school programs because he's a racist, white supremacist. So here's some 5 facts that CS Monitor has put together about Wilson and race. And let me see, they're gleaned from 3 different books: 2013's Wilson by A. Scott Berg, 2009 Woodrow Wilson, a biography by John Milton Cooper Jr., and Wilson, Roosevelt, Taft, and Debs, The Election That Changed the Country by James Chance. 1. Wilson's bigotry had wide boundaries. In a 1902 book about American history, Wilson exposed his bigotry on the page in a passage about immigrants. Oh, how does that relate today? Want to talk about Muslims and Muslim congressmen, not U.S. congressmen, but Muslim congressmen. He described them as men of the lowest class from Italy. Okay, we're talking about Italians. Oh, Scalia. Who was up there on the Supreme Court bench practicing racism and talking about blacks can't academically achieve in higher universities and perhaps they need to go to lesser, you know, schools and whatnot? So Wilson didn't even like people like Scalia. He viewed them, he viewed Italians as men of the lowest class. And you know, they got a few of them. Nominees throughout history, Christopher Columbus, for one. Oh man, let's not talk about his crimes against humanity. But anyway, and he also called them of the meaner sort of people, immigrants from Hungary and Poland. He called them men out of the ranks where there was neither skill nor energy nor any initiative or quick intelligence, and they came in the number, sordid and hapless elements of their population, the men whose standards of life and work are such as American workmen has never reamed of hitherto. But see, here's where the thing is. This is a clue into the hierarchy of white supremacy. This is what I was talking about the other day about the niggas of Europe. If y'all don't know what I mean by the term niggas of Europe, the way that black people are referred to in a derogatory term as niggers and whatnot, and there's the treatment that comes with being subscribed to that classification. Well, in Europe, that is how the Anglo-Saxons treated all these others, these Italians who Wilson said were men of the lowest class, the meanest people from Hungary and Poland, just lazy bums is how he described them, who didn't have any kind of initiative or quick intelligence. And then he complained about how many of them came here. So again, it's white. That's a white supremacist. Wilson was a white supremacist. These other people, they weren't being given their white privilege card. See, they are not in fact white, but they were, you know what I'm saying? The others, the other than, the people that were being mistreated by the Anglo-Saxons and other people in power, the royalty, you know, the noble class and all of that whole hierarchy. And so all the peasants was like, man, they really mistreating us here in Europe. Let's run to America for a better life where we won't, you know, have racism practiced against us. And then they come here and they make that deal to get that white privilege card, join the police, join the prison guard ranks, join the military. And then they get that white privilege card and then they get to mistreat non-white people who aren't classified as white. Even though some of them are proxy racists and they try to get that white privilege card, but, you know, they can't get it because, you know, that's just going too far in the confusion. So they get that, you know, he's an okay one card, you know, he's all right card with white supremacy. The proxy tool card is what they get. And so this is the type of person we talking about, Wilson. Now, I bet you some of the students there who may be of Polish descent, of Hungary descent, you know, some of these others, these non-Anglo-Saxon students there, they'll be arguing, you know, ain't nothing wrong with Wilson. That was just during his time. You know, it was okay back then. No racism ain't never been okay. Slavery, all that kind of stuff ain't never been okay. There's always been somebody in opposition and in resistance to it. So it ain't never been okay. So we don't have to overlook nothing when we look at people, because, you know, certainly in white supremacist history books, they really will point out the so-called atrocities, whether they are factual or made up. They will say, like, you know, the Indians were savages and they was, you know, doing all of this and engaging in genocide and whatnot and whatnot. But when we want to point it out to a white supremacist, oh, no, you know, that was just doing their time back then. You know, we can't hold that against them. So he, you know, he was a white supremacist and he didn't like these niggas of Europe is what he didn't like. And then again, today, now, these people, again, Jerry, what's his name? Is it Jeffrey Perry's book, The Invention of the White Race? And so I guess Wilson wasn't really down with that. He wasn't really down with getting a white privilege card to where he saw as a bunch of lower intelligence, lazy degenerates. But I bet you some of their descendants, those people that he was talking about, will be out there arguing to keep Wilson's name on there because they don't know their own history and nothing about this man. They all they know is we're classified as white. They view us as white. And so we're, you know, we're going to be on the white supremacist team and whatnot. So anyway, for Wilson, inequality and order reign supreme. See, you got to be actually in power and living supreme and ruling supreme for me to call you a white supremacist. Other than that, if you're just a racist white person, then, you know, you pretty much fall into that category that Wilson put you in. But anyway, in his biography, Berg suggests that Wilson suffered from genteel racism. Again, these people with their words, man, what is that, a gentler, more form of racism, a codified, more refined form of racism, genteel, polite, refined, or there we go, or respectable. How you going to be a respectable racist? You see what I'm saying? A respectable racist, a prejudice that couldn't stomach the ideal of racial equality or inappropriate behavior in a pursuit of white supremacy. Cooper, in his biography, puts it this way. Violence, lynching, and virulent racism grieved him, but when it came to lynching, he deplored the passion, disordered and subtly international image of white Americans, rather than caring about the injury, horror, and death of quote-unquote black Americans, because they wasn't Americans to him. They ain't one Americans. It don't matter if they was the descendant of African-American revolutionaries or if they was the descendants of enslaved Africans. Wrong skin color. So, again, and his main concern was white people looking bad worldwide. That was his main concern. No concern for the people as a politician that he's supposed to protect and supposed to be serving everybody, because we're all in this together. No, this is a racist white supremacist. Nothing gentle about it. He just wasn't blatant about it. He wasn't getting caught, you know, like the Nixon tapes and stuff like that. You see, they didn't have, I guess, recording machines. But, yeah, man, let's move on. Birth of a Nation. Historians have repeatedly written that Wilson praised the racist film Birth of a Nation after a private screening at the White House by saying it is like writing history with lightning. And my only regret is that it is all so terribly true. Berg argues in his biography that the president almost certainly never said it, although he provides scant details about why the quote is so questionable. Citing his service at a Princeton University trustee, Berg declined to be interviewed for the story, so he just said he didn't say that, and I don't want to talk about it. Wilson, according to Berg, Wilson described the film this way in a letter 3 years later. I have always felt that this was a very unfortunate production, and I wish most certainly that its production might be avoided, particularly in communities where there are so many colored people. Then why did you screen it at the White House? See, they never deny that, but they just go on to confuse you with, well, he said this about the film, and he said that he screened it at the White House. He had to know what the film was about. Birth of a Nation, white supremacy. So, again, you know, I stand in solidarity with anyone, and particularly these Princeton University students in erasing these names of these men, white supremacists, racist terrorists, from the names of these public buildings. So get rid of them. Not if I'm paying tuition, not if you're making money off of black bodies through sports or however you're making money off of them. You're getting public money. It don't matter. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. I stand in solidarity with that, because or else explain to my 4-year-old grandson, explain to him why. Well, he's too young. He may not fully understand how you practice racism, but explain it to, let's say, my 11-year-old nephews, why it's okay to honor people with statues and name buildings after them and honor them when they are racist and they white supremacists. Make that argument to a kid, man, and tell me how that's okay. But yet you practice that. That's what you still practice to this day. And those who want to remove it, you want to fight it and make excuses for it. So that's a society, man. Ain't no post-racial nothing. Last and not least, we will just acknowledge again, since the U.S. government is acknowledging it's criminality, but again, the corporate officer elected from this district that I live in New York, North Carolina, U.S. Congressman Patrick McHenry, issued a statement on the Eugenics Compensation Legislation Clearinghouse Committee. And let me see if I can get a better view of this article. I hate it when it kind of like cuts the words off. There we go. McHenry's statement on Eugenics Compensation Legislation Clearinghouse Committee. Yes, they got a committee on compensating people for eugenics. And it's 2015, people. 2015. And this victim's still alive. People talk a lot about the Holocaust victims. Man, you got an African Holocaust that's still in progress on this continent. But here we got the U.S. government coming up with, you know, to exempt the compensation payments from being used to determine federal benefits. So whether or not they're getting assistance through food assistance, if we're talking about elderly people, prescription, you know, subsidies or whatnot, Obamacare, that's what he calls it himself, Obamacare. And so now, we got to kick you off. You can't get it for the low income people because you got this $50,000 measly payment from, I think it's the state of North Carolina. Yeah, the state of North Carolina that's paying this. So I'm not really sure what the U.S. government has to do with it, but we will read it right quick because it's not that very long. But so this is Patrick McHenry, again, Republican out of North Carolina, the 10th district. He released the following statement after the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform passed Senate Bill 1698, so it originated in the Senate, the treatment of a certain payments in Eugenics Compensation Act, of certain payments, call it what it is, man, by the unanimous consent during their business meeting this morning. Today's news is a positive development in our continued efforts to right the wrongs committed during this shameful period of our state's history. We can never fully repay the victims of this horrific program, but our legislation at least ensures they are not victimized again. I'd like to thank Chairman Chaffetz and members of the Oversight Committee for their swift action on my bill. I look forward to seeing this important legislation come to the House floor early next year. So, no, it has not been passed into law, so it appears it's made it out of committee. And now it will come to the House floor, where I guess it will be debated. And if it's not filibustered, there'll be a break. And just to, I don't need to read the rest of it. Well, we'll give you some background. They're giving you some background. During the early decades of the 20th century, over 30 states implemented eugenics or compulsory sterilization laws, which led to the mandated sterilization of more than 60,000 citizens. And see, again, man, every year on the anniversary of Auschwitz or, pick a Nazi labor camp and eugenics camp. Pick one. But you had those camps and things and programs that was operating like this in 30 different states well into the 20th century. In fact, 40 to 50 years after the World War II. And yet none of these doctors, none of these social workers, none of these people have been charged with a crime against humanity. And I will even say, because I believe that this is war on all non-white life on this continent, that these are war crimes. And these people are still alive, probably collecting a pension or something from North Carolina taxpayers. And they might have set up, let's say 15 people, maybe 15, 20 people to be sterilized against their will. Those people, man, we should be having some trials here in North Carolina. And I'm calling for trials as a citizen of this state. I'm calling on the attorney general. I'm calling on the legislature. I'm calling on the powers to be to immediately convene eugenics trials in this state. And y'all got the records. You all have the records. Y'all know the doctors. Y'all know the networks. Y'all know who were employees of the state at the time. These people need to be prosecuted for crimes against humanity in these, what you admit, are crimes. These are crimes. Just cause the government, show me where the Constitution authorizes for sterilization. So don't tell me about, oh, that was just the times back then and the state passed this law that allowed them to do it. Well, show me where the Constitution allows you to sterilize people, since that's the only thing you recognize. We know that you signed the treaties governing human rights, international human rights treaties, but you fail to ratify them through the Congress and whatnot. So, again, these people are still being victimized. To have the knowledge that these people, this doctor, this nurse, this social worker, is the reason that you was never able to have children. And then they botched it on top of that. They botched it and you had all these medical problems and whatnot. All right. So, I mean, come on. You are victimizing them again by not prosecuting. These people still alive. Look, man, they be pulling 80-year-old, 90-year-old former Nazi guards in front of trials here in the United States. Do they not? Yes, they do. They've had one, at least one I could recall from this year. So all of these little evil Nazis here in America, the original American Nazis that participated in this sterilization program, all of their assets need to be seized and distributed equally among the victims. That's justice. This other stuff, that ain't justice. That ain't just, you just acknowledging a wrongdoing, but you ain't punishing nobody except for the victim. So they still being victimized, Congressman McHenry. I call on you as a representative of North Carolina to introduce that legislation. Let's have congressional hearings. You say 30 states were involved. This information is published on your newsroom on the House.gov website. Let's have the hearings on this. We need to have hearings. Just like they had the Nuremberg trials, we need to know how many of these terrorists is walking among us. They need to be tracked down. I don't care if they in a nursing home in a wheelchair. They need to be wheeled into a courtroom to stand trial for their crimes. The victims, that's justice. So that's what we're really talking about here. This isn't justice, paying them $50,000 and allowing them to keep their EBT card. Like, that's really justice, man? No, come on. It's not. Anyway, that's my broadcast for today. Trying to keep it short and sweet. Got a lot of work to do. Reformatting the BlackTalkMediaProject.org website as we start offering more services. Just finished up a client's website last night. Check out TimeForAwakening.com. That's some of the work of customizing WordPress themes, WordPress hosting, set up your blog, whatnot, to be a podcasting blog or video casting blog, do the installation for you, everything, do the domain hosting. We offering all those services now, and so we, you know, got to get that up on the website. Got to do BlackTalkMediaProject.org. That's why I'm trying to keep it short and sweet. I have been checking the phone lines in the conference line, and we don't see that anybody had any questions and whatnot. So, I will be back on air hopefully tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time for what? New Abolitionist Radio, where we'll talk about 21st century slavery and human trafficking as being practiced by racist, white supremacists, and proxy tools of racism, you know, non-white people, all participating in modern slavery today. And then we spit those facts every Wednesday night, myself, Max Parthas, Brother Johanan, and you could join us, obviously, of course, in our group, Move to Abolish 21st Century Slavery, which is on Facebook. Put in a request, and we certainly will approve it. Listen, recognize the fact that you live behind enemy lines. USA Inc. is in total control of this land. And, you know, they got a anti-freedom agenda going on there. They're practicing slavery internationally. They're committing war crimes all over the place. And that's why they can ignore the war crimes that's taking place by the police, ignore the reports that white supremacists have been infiltrating the police departments. And, you know, so we have to develop skills. We have to always have situational awareness. You can't be in a restaurant and not, you know, observing the people around you, and they sitting there, you know, probably hate you because they just got through listening to Alex Jones or reading an article about, you know, written by Paul Joseph Wassup, saying Muslims are terrorists or bad people and, you know, this and that. Then, you know, they ain't liable to do anything to you. As we have seen, terrorist attacks against Muslims, following them, stalking Muslim women with AR-15s. I did a report on that. So we can't leave it up to a federal government that's engaged in acts of terrorism. The CEO has a kill list in his pocket, for God's sake. You know, come on. You got drone operators, former drone operators, blowing the whistle about all the kids that got blown up and whatnot. So they're committing war crimes. So they're allowing local police departments and state prisons to engage in monumental human rights abuses to everyone, regardless of their classification, once they're on their prison plantation. But they allow the police forces to be especially brutal to black communities, Hispanic communities. It's not that bad out here where I am, where these poor non-whites, you know, they ain't getting brutalized like that. And rightfully, they shouldn't be. But it's happening everywhere else. So depending upon where you are, man, I would say any place you on the planet, not depending upon, but any place you on the planet, you got to have battlefield awareness to know what's going on around you so you can decrease the likelihood that you become a victim, one of these casualties laying out, you know, bleeding out, you know, on Battlefield America or as a new slave on their new slave plantations that are called prisons. That said, yeah, I won't be back on air with Black Talk Radio News till Thursday afternoon at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Till then, peace and blessings to all.